context. I think we're going to start getting into it in 8:22 again, but I just wanted to give a couple before then. As everyone knows, we're in Romans 8, and I think some of the things that we have to say today or that we're going to cover today are pertinent to what Al and Nancy are going through right now. I think it just fits right into it. And most of the time, if we have our antenna up and our eyes open and our ears wide open, we'll find that the word in toto oftentimes will translate exactly into what circumstances we find ourselves in. And the question is, do we avail ourselves of that word? Do we lean on the word? Do we lean on him as opposed to ourselves? And of course, we exhort ourselves and we exhort each other and we encourage each other to lean on him, to be in him, to be led by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Spirit of God, because we know that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. 8:21, please. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, we know that bondage of corruption, there's a lot there, but we know sin brings that bondage of corruption. That is what we've been delivered from. The creature has been delivered from that. There is a process that we walk into that we are agreeing with our Lord and Savior that we will walk into this deliverance. We will walk into this redemption that has been provided for us. We will accept the ransom that has been paid for our sins, the holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us, and he's done it once and for all. It was finished at the cross. That is that bondage of corruption that we're being delivered from. It's that sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So we know that the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is Paul saying it's going to happen. And those that want to be a part of it will be a part of it. And those that don't enter into it, well, God help them to enter into it. And God help his grace to take over more and more in their own lives and supplant their will for his. Amen. So let's go to 8:22, please. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, we do remember that that creature, or the creation there, the creature in 8:20 is tsisis. It's the Greek word 2937. It's the act of founding, establishing, building, etc. The act of creating. It's of individual things, beings, a creature, a creation, anything created. After a rabbinical usage, it's by which a man is converted from idolatry to Judaism. It's an institution, it's an ordinance, it's something established, founded. And we know this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What are we groaning and travailing in pain for? We're groaning and travailing in pain for that redemption, that deliverance that is coming, that has been provided for, but it is coming, and as man enters into it, it will come in completion and in totality. But we must walk in that. We must apprehend it. We know that Romans 6:23 says that we must apprehend this. Let's go to Romans 6:23 just very briefly for me, please, McKenzie. For the wages of sin is death. That's that bondage of corruption that we're being delivered from. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in covering this, when we talked about it, we know there is not just a simple understanding or recognizance of this, or, yes, Lord, okay, I get it. There is an actual apprehension of this. And as we dissect these words, we know that there is an apprehension, there is a grabbing, there is a taking, there is an entering into this promise here. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift, but we got to get it. We got to take it. We got to enter into that inheritance, don't we? Do we not? Yes, we do. Okay, go back to 8:22, please, McKenzie. Romans 8:22, please. Thank you, Mackenzie. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So, what is that word, groaneth? That's that Greek word, 49:59, sustenazo. And it is, it's to groan together. So all of creation is waiting for deliverance, waiting for this redemption. It's been provided, but we have to enter into it. And what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the sons of God to emerge and to take their place, are we not? Yes, we are. And how do the sons of God take their place? We know that from past studies here that it's because of the Spirit of God that leads these sons of God, that brings us into this position that God has given us. It is nothing that we've earned. It's something that by His grace and mercy and just love for us, He has brought us into this position as sons of God. He has willingly said, look, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to make you my own. You were not my own because you were the world's. But now you no longer are the world's. You are my own. Enter in. I have something better for you. This is that corruption of bondage that we're being delivered from. That is not our part. That's not our place. That's not who we are. We're not in that bondage of corruption. As we walk out of that and walk into the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is within us, we abide in the Spirit abides in us, we put off that corruption. We put on incorruption. We put off that mortality. We put on immortality. Do we not? Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This groaneth, again, is to groan together. So we're all in this together spiritually. We know that we're waiting for something better to emerge. We're waiting for the sons of God to take their place. We're waiting for the manifestation of the kingdom of God, as Nancy said on Wednesday. We're looking for this establishment of the kingdom. And God does it in His people. He does it in us. But we have to enter into it. We have to say, yes, Lord, not my will, Lord God, but yours. Amen? So, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This travaileth in pain, it's synodino, it's to feel the pains of travail with. Again, groaning together, and pains of travail with. We are together in this. We look out for our brothers look out for us. We're groaning together, we're working this out with each other. We're exhorting each other and encouraging each other along the way. And thank you, Lord, for the strength of our brothers and sisters, Lord God. Thank you for their ministry to us. Thank you for the body, Lord God, because we need each other. We dearly hold on to each other. We need each other in these times. These times are trying times. These times are testing times. And they're going to become greater times. But nothing is too great for our Lord Jesus Christ and He who dwells within us. Not by my might, Lord God, but by yours. Amen. So, travaileth in pain, Greek word 4944, synodino. Synodino. It's sunodino. It's to feel the pains of travail with, being travailed together. And metaphorically, it's to undergo agony, like a woman in childbirth. Now, us guys here, you know, sort of like we can look on it and say, yeah, it looks pretty painful. I'm glad I don't have to do that. But these ladies know what that agony of childbirth is. They understand. They feel each other's pain. They know what it is. Well, that's what we're called to do. We're called to feel each other's pain. We're called to undergo the agony of each other, like a woman in childbirth. We're along with each other in this. So we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And this, like a woman in childbirth, I'll just say this as a little rabbit trail. We know that these pains in childbirth, as I've been led to believe and understand, these pains begin less severe, less intense, and then as the time draws nearer, these pains increase in intensity, don't they? And in frequency, don't they? So we can expect that metaphorically what the Lord is teaching us, and Paul is through the Spirit of the Lord teaching us, is that these times will become more and more intense. God has a work. God is birthing a new creation, a new man, a kingdom. And as this as this unfolds, we're going to see, just as in childbirth, we're going to see an intensity, increase of the things that are fighting God's will. But we're going to see God get even more intense in his love for us and his mercy for us, and that he would have all be delivered and saved from those things to come for those that don't receive him. And in doing this, in his mercy, he does bring this judgment, and these things will come upon man. We will groan and travail together because there is something greater being delivered, and that is our deliverance, our redemption. And it's not just ours. It's all of carnal man, because we know from Romans earlier that the carnal heart can't even receive the Lord. And that's why we are called to have mercy for our brothers and sisters that are not yet where we are, but by his grace, right? We're to take everybody where they're at. We're not to be in judgment of anybody. We're not to be in condescension, looking down. We are to be in humility, just as our Lord, dear Jesus, was with Mary Magdalene, just as he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we cannot be in judgment. We cannot be in anything but love. The love that the Lord had for us has to be in our hearts for our brothers and sisters, even where they're at. But for his mercy, but my Uncle Jerry, cop, 30 years in Detroit Police Force, but by the grace of God, there walk I. He said that, and he meant it. And that is our understanding. That's what needs to be our understanding. God says, I give you a greater commandment. Love each other. Love one another. And that encompasses all these commandments, doesn't it? Encompasses everything he has for us, because in loving, we fulfill everything else, because we're not going to do anything that is going to put others off. We're going to groan and travail in pain together with everyone else. We're going to bring them into this. Thank you, Lord, that we've been brought into it. And thank you, Lord, for the maturing of our hearts in this. And thank you, Lord, for your will, not our will, Lord God, that's in our hearts. And not by us, Lord God, not by our strength, but by your mercy, Lord God Almighty, by your great mercy. So we see these things coming. We see a birthing coming. And if you just look nigh, look up, and look around, and as you see these things, know that the time draws nigh, right? Matthew 24? Yes, Lord. And he says, be sober. Be sober-minded. This groaning and travailing in pain. Can we go to Jeremiah 12, please, 4? And I heard Dale Frazier speak, this young Dale. It was just a great message. The Lord has anointed him, and I love listening to him because he is so gifted. And the Lord, and he enters into it. That's what we're called to do. We're all called to enter into this. And he has encouraged me in my walk. You all have. But I remember him talking about this and talking about the groans, and he just had, it was a full meal. It was a complete banquet that day, and I didn't walk away hungry. But part of this was he brought in Jeremiah, how we're groaning and the beasts are groaning and the whole creation is groaning. And we know the Lord said, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds. Because he said, he shall not see our last end. So we see in this, how long shall the land mourn? That's that groaning and travailing. And the herbs of every field wither. Everything, the whole creation is groaning. Everything's withering, is dying, because we know that the wages of sin is death, don't we? This is what's coming down upon us. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein. That's why, because of the wickedness. That's why we see this condition. The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. And what are we in the carnal state? We're nothing but beasts. If we're not in spirit, we're resorting to what the world has, which we know leads only to death and destruction. Isn't that right? We know that the redemption is in him, not in anything that this world has for us. Let's go to, I'll just read through to 12:11. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Check that out. Go back to that just for a second, please. And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, so we trust in our land of peace, but what's happening? These walls are being torn down. This hedge that we've trusted in is being torn down because we have rested on the laurels of our forefathers and their faith and their integrity and their solemnity before the Lord God Almighty. We have to step into that too, and we as people must demand that our government do it, and we as a community must encourage and exhort each other to do it. We must groan and travail together with each other, not to just trust in the blessings that we have, but to know that there is an accounting, there is a requirement to remain there. If we're going to remain there, we better trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our forefathers did, if we want to remain. It says here, how canst thou contend with horses? If you are no footman and you've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, that's where we're at, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How will we do when there's trials coming? Right? So, get ready, because we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the earth, and it is not us, but it is He that dwelleth within us. Amen? 12 and 6, please. For even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. So we have to be sober-minded. We have to be, what is the sheep and wolves thing that the Lord said? I don't remember exactly how that goes, but we have to be as innocent as sheep, but I think we have to just be extremely careful in our walk. We've got to be very careful about who we're walking with, what we're walking with, and what is coming. So, believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. So we have to be sober, we have to look about, and we have to know what's coming. Matthew 24, 12 and 7, please. I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. This is the Lord's judgment. Land of peace, in which we trusted. Do we think that God will be mocked? God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Where is this nation going, right? 12 and 8, please. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. So a lion in the forest is very destructive, very voracious. It attacks. It decimates. And it's powerful. And that's... And we know this kingdom coming. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, that kingdom that he foresaw, we know that there is a strong kingdom coming that we have to contend with. But it is not too strong for us because we have the Lord God Almighty with us, do we not? He is our light. He is our refuge. He is our shield. He is our counselor in these times. Amen? And we must rely on him to greater and greater faith. That is what Al is being called to right now, and so is Nancy. And I know they'll enter into this. I know they will, because I know the faith of those two. And I look for the Lord to give Al a greater and greater faith in the midst of this, and I look for Al's deliverance in this, his healing. Because God did provide his healing. By his stripes, we are healed. He must enter into that, and he must believe this. And we must groan and travail with Al, and we must groan and travail with Nancy, and we must pray with them and believe that there is, on the outset of this, a healing and a new man. Al's learning something through this, is he not? And so are we. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. This is the pastors. This is the church. Have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. He's got an indictment against his pastors, doesn't he? He's saying, hey, you guys... You destroyed my vineyard. This fruit was for my kingdom. You've destroyed it. You've trodden my portion underfoot. And you've made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. How do we do that? I guess there's a lot that could be said for that. But are the pastors leading the church where they should go? Or are the pastors leading for convenience? Or for a full house? Or for a return? Is it a business or is it God's business that we're dealing with? Right? Lord God Almighty, have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on our people. Have mercy on your pastors, Lord God Almighty. Your will, not theirs, Lord God. Your will, not ours, Lord Jesus Christ. 12 and 11. And they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth. There's that word, groaneth and travaileth again. It mourneth, it's similar, it's the Hebrew word, but it's likened unto the groaneth and travaileth in Romans 8:22. Desolate, it mourneth unto me. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. What is it, layeth it to heart? It's the Hebrew word 7760, sum. It's to lay it, to put, place, set, appoint, make, to set, ordain, establish, found, appoint, constitute, make, determine, fix. To make for, transform into, constitute, fashion, work, transform into, bring to pass, appoint, give. It's to make, or to set, or make for a sign. So, laying it to heart, there's a lot more than just saying, yep, yeah, I get it, Lord, and just being lip service to it. There is an apprehension, again, just as in 6:23, that we are laying hold of this thing, this the redemption that we've been given. We're laying hold of it, and it's being constituted in our heart, it's being founded in our heart, it's being fashioned in our heart. Our heart is being fashioned to our Father's heart. Not our will, Lord God, but your will, Lord God. But this cup would be taken from me, Lord God, but not my will, Lord God, but yours, right? Isn't that what our Lord said? Even he, in his destitute and his desperation on the Garden of Gethsemane, understood that there is a far greater order here than what we even understand. I have not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those that love him. There's a far greater thing. And I count these sufferings as not for the greatest glory that is to come. Right? Didn't Paul just say that earlier in Romans, and we covered that last week or the week before? Yes, he did. These sufferings are nothing. And we should and can encourage our brother Al, letting him know, yes, these sufferings, we all walk in them, but what does the Lord have for us in the midst of it? But these sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed unto us and be a part of us as we walk in this. Amen? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man found the Lord's principles, constitute the Lord's principles, ordain his heart, establish the Lord's principles, appoint every day as the Lord's in his heart. That's what that interpretation is. I think it's reasonable to extend it to all those things because that's the Hebrew for it. What is the heart? It's the inner heart. It's the Greek word 3820, L-E-B, but it's pronounced lave, L-A-V. At least maybe it's lave, but there might have been a typo in the concordance. But it's the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding. So we lay it to our inner man, our heart, our understanding. We put it in our deepest, our most holy place, right? Where is the most holy place? It is in us, in our hearts, if the Lord is there. Is it not? Yes, it is. And that's what we strive for. That's what we look for. Not my will, Lord God, but your will. And let your place be in me, Lord God. And when the world sees us, who should they see? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if they have seen us, they should see Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so almost done here. Let me just let me go back. Well, we'll just leave it. Let's go back to 8:22, please, Luann. Romans 8:22. So in Romans, Paul all throughout Romans, he's saying, he's exhorting us to have a change of heart. He's saying, replace this carnality with the Spirit. Replace the flesh with the spirit. Put on incorruption. Put off the corruption, the bondage of corruption. Put on incorruption. Put off mortality. Put on immortality. How do we do that? We take and we institute and we found and we establish God's word in our hearts, in our most inner place, in our man, in our understanding, in our minds. It becomes who we are. It is not something that we have to work at. As we practice it and as we walk into it, it becomes who we are. It becomes who we naturally are. We're no longer fighting it because there is a new man being birthed. Amen? So, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Okay, so I think we've covered this pretty good. Let's go to 8:23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So, he's making a distinction between the world, the whole creation, and us, even as sons of God, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. There's a lot in here. I'm going to just very quickly, I think it's worth saying relative to Al and Nancy's situation. I'll cover more of this later, but I do want to say one thing here. Let's go to 8:24, please. We'll just read 8:24 in context with this. I'm going to get back into 8:23 next week, but I want to get into 8:24 a little bit here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So, we are saved. This is for Al, this is for Nancy. And it's for all of us. It's the Greek word sozo, 49:82. It's to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, i.e. one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue. It's to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment, to save from the evils which destroy the reception of the messianic deliverance. But in this saving, there is a saving from injury or peril, a saving from suffering from disease. Look at Stephen as he was being martyred. He was saved in the midst of that. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The glory of the Lord shone about him even in the midst of his death. And he had no hate or anything but love for those that were delivering that unto him, including Paul. Now, that is a saving from injury or peril. I don't even know if Stephen felt it. Certainly, he overcame all those things when he was in the midst of that. We can overcome all of these things when we are in the midst of things as well. And we ask the Lord, what are you trying to show us, Lord, in the midst of these things? Open my eyes, Lord God. Open my ears, Lord God. Open my heart, Lord God. Open my mind. Open my understanding. Open my inner recess, Lord God. My deepest inner recess, Lord God. Be there, Lord God. Give me this understanding. And let that Spirit of God groan for me where I don't know. Please let the Spirit intercede on my behalf. And we know that's coming too, right? This is also what Paul says. Can we go to 8:25 just very quickly, please, Lynn? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? 8:26, please. Likewise, the Spirit also help with our infirmities. And this is for Al also. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we thank you, Lord God Almighty, that this Spirit is interceding for us beyond our understanding in mysteries that we have no clue about yet. But we trust that the Spirit is there for us. We trust that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And we trust that the Spirit intercedes on Al's behalf too. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you all for listening to me. And Lord God bless and keep you all. Amen.